Welcome to Paper Places, the podcast that uncovers where stories take their writers and demystifies the journey to writing professionally. Each episode, I sit down with an acclaimed writer to find out where their words have taken them. But today, I am not sat with a writer, I am sat alone because I thought I would do a brief introduction to let you know who I am and what we're doing here. So I've gathered some questions from Instagram and I'm going to run through those in a moment. But let's start with the basics. Why start a show? So I'm Kerry Provenzano. For those of you who aren't aware, I am the Chief Advertising Officer at Relay FM. And alongside my work with Relay, I am a writer. I actually trained as a journalist when I did my undergraduate degree, and then I was a newspaper columnist for a number of years. And now I am writing my first book, which is a memoir on my childhood. I grew up in artistic and rhythmic gymnastics. And the traditional publishing route is, I mean, it's a wild journey and it is just full of things that I didn't know about. So in this show, I'm going to be checking in with you each episode to let you know where I am with my own writing process. And then I'll be sitting down with an acclaimed writer and asking them all of the burning questions that I have about their work and where their writing has taken them. So that's a bit about the show. Let's dig into some of the questions that people popped onto the Instagram box that I put out there. So the first question is, how do you juggle so many things? This is a good place to start, actually, because my career is kind of, someone at Pilates the other day referred to it as a portfolio career, which I actually hadn't heard of before. But when I Googled it after, I thought, finally, I can kind of put my career into a couple of words, because that's exactly what I do. I'm self-employed. I have been for a long time. I work with a few different clients. So I'm Chief Advertising Officer at Relay. As I mentioned, I also work alongside Mike on Cortex Brand. I'm also doing a part-time master's in creative writing at the moment. I've actually just finished the taught part of my degree. So I'll be graduating at some point, maybe end of this year, early next year. It depends how long it takes the dissertations to get marked. So my work life is very busy. And in terms of juggling it all, I would say, first of all, I'm really good at taking time off. So I have a week off pretty regularly, and that really helps to reset. And, you know, my job isn't typical in the way that I work. So I allow myself to approach it in a non-typical way. I've found in the past that trying to shoehorn a 9-to-5 work schedule when I don't have a regular job doesn't really work for me. So sometimes I'll go through phases where I don't work mornings. Sometimes I'll start early and have a 3-hour break in the middle of the day and then carry on working till the early evening. I give myself a lot of flexibility, which is the biggest benefit of my job. And I'm quite an intense person career-wise. But then to balance that, I would say that I approach everything outside of my career with radical nonchalance. As my friend Emily said last week, you know, nothing is urgent unless you're bleeding. And I guess I subscribe to that approach. So at work, I'm incredibly focused and I know what I want from my career and I know where I'm going. And for the most part, I know how to get there. And if I don't, then I know who I need to ask. But then outside of work, I just really take a laid back approach because I can't be like that all the time, right? Like I can't always be 100 out of 100. In terms of focus and discipline. So my work life is intense and my personal life is incredibly relaxed. And I think that that allows me to juggle all of the things that I do. So the next question is, what is your creative process? And I had to have a good think about this one, but I've come up with 4 steps. Read is the first one. I find that reading is the thing that really reinvigorates my brain and just gets the words all jumbled up in my mind and gets me thinking about things in an interesting way and gets things moving again. So read is the first one. Second one is prove. So if you are a fan of the Great British Bake Off or the Great British Baking Show, as I think it is in the US, then you'll know that on Bread Week, they have to prove their dough in the proving drawer. I've always wanted a proving drawer, by the way. It just looks so fancy. I don't even bake bread, but just the idea of having a proving drawer, it just really fills my heart with warmth. That has to be a goal of mine at some point. So they put their dough in the proving drawer and they leave it for a little while and it gets bigger and bigger and bigger. After reading, I need time for my ideas to prove. So I'm kind of in this weird phase where I'm not technically writing anything down, but I am sort of writing in my mind and things are formulating and links are being made and images are being added. And what I might do at that point is jot some things down so that I don't forget, you know, if there's an image that comes into my mind, I'll kind of make a couple of notes. But I'm not really writing in the sense of sitting down and writing, you know, 500 words, 1,000 words. But in the proving stage, I'm writing little notes and I'm just allowing it all to bubble up in my mind. And then there is the actual writing. So once I've got all of my notes, maybe it's been, you know, a week or so and I've been proving away and I've got lots to talk about, then I feel like I can actually sit down and get writing. And I try to just start and I try to not have the critique's voice in my mind. I think that's the biggest thing that I used to struggle with, is wanting everything that I write to be really good. And this definitely still happens even now. And it's kind of hard to accept that sometimes you're going to sit down and write and it's not going to be good. But you have to just get that out of the way so that you can actually edit it and make it into something good after. And then after that, it's just repeat. So I just go back. I will probably then edit my work a little bit in between, you know, when I'm kind of back in my reading phase. But that is kind of the process. And sometimes that process can happen in a day. Sometimes I can wake up in the morning and read and then think on it while I'm getting ready. And that's when the proving is happening. Then I might sit down and write. Then I'll kind of do a little edit. And then I might go back and read something else in the afternoon. So it can happen like that. It can also happen over a month. So the timeline varies, but that's the process. The next question is, when did you discover your love for writing? Such a wholesome question. I would say 5 or 6. I was in primary school. It was basically as soon as I could write. I remember rushing through worksheets in the hope that I would get free time. And if I did get some free time, you know, 15 minutes at the end of the lesson, I would run to the writing corner. And it was just this magical place. It was just filled with pastel paper, pots of pens. It was just wonderful. And I just sit and write stories. And in hindsight, it was probably like a real makeshift thing that my teachers had put together. But it was just my favorite place to be. And it's quite funny for me to think about, actually, because I would have been sat there on my own writing my stories and my friends would have been finishing up the work that they were doing, or maybe they had free time and they were doing something else. And it's kind of funny to think about my work life now. And for the most part, I am in my office on my own writing or, you know, working on whatever I'm working on. And in my mind, other people are out at offices. So it's quite funny to think that that started all those years ago. The next question is, who is your favourite fiction writer and who is your favourite non-fiction writer? I'll start with non-fiction because that feels a little bit easier. David Sedaris is my favourite non-fiction writer. He is a brilliant essayist. He is so funny. The way he writes about life just makes it easier to live. Everything that happens to him, he finds the humour in it. And he really celebrates his subjects, even when it's a tricky topic. You really get to know the characters in his life. And he's just really funny and he just never stops asking ridiculous questions. So I thoroughly recommend picking up. He has like a book called Happy Go Lucky, which is really lovely. It's like a collection of essays. If you just want to read one, then I recommend reading one called The Youth in Asia, which is a really, really wonderful essay, probably my favourite of his. And then as for the fiction writer, this is really hard. So my favourite book is The Book Thief by Marcus Zusak. And I love his prose. It's ornate, it's impactful, but it's not over the top, it's not superfluous. And that's kind of my favourite style of writing. But I don't know if I'd say that he is my favourite author overall. It's too tricky, but what I can do is just share what I've read recently, which actually is a fantasy series. So I just read the A Court of Thorns and Roses series by Sarah J. Maas. And I actually also have her Throne of Glass series, which she wrote before A Court of Thorns and Roses. But I am not allowed to read that yet until my dissertation is handed in, because I know that the second I open that first book, I will read it until I'm done. And it will take up 3 weeks of my life and I won't watch any TV. And I know that, because that's what happened when I read A Court of Thorns and Roses. I didn't watch TV for about 3 weeks. I just read the entire series. And at the moment, while I'm in my dissertation writing season, I cannot afford to lose that much time. So I'm going to start those in the summer. But yeah, I'm kind of reading fantasy at the moment. I guess because I read a fair amount of literary stuff for school. So then outside of school, if I'm not reading something for the master's degree, then I tend to lean towards fairly easy reads. So if you have any recommendations for other fantasy series that I would like, please do let me know. The next question is, have you written fiction before this master's program? The answer to that is yes, but not much. I did NaNoWriMo, National Novel Writing Month, back when I was 17 and spat out a terrible novel. Otherwise, I've written a bunch of nonfiction, probably well over 100 columns at this point. So I had done some, but not an awful lot, and not very good fiction either. I tell you, I actually had never written a script before. I mean, I've written a bajillion podcast ads, but never a fiction script. And then in module 3 of the master's program, I wrote the beginning of a movie script, which was actually so fun and so different. It was called Wait, and I created this character called the director who orchestrated a hostage situation. But he had this indecisive waiter make all the calls about who would live and die. I think watching Triangle of Sadness inspired that, because I was kind of interested in seeing what happens when you flip a power dynamic like that. So, you know, you take a luxury London tea room and put the waiter in charge of who survives, and suddenly you have a very different hierarchy. So that was really fun to do, and that was definitely completely new. I'd never written a script. I didn't even know how to format a script. I had to just like ask my friend Erica what on earth is going on here. She's a script writer. So it was like old hat for her. She knew what she was doing. She wrote a really cool script actually about a escape room, but then it turns out that the person running the escape room was known to the person in the escape room and they weren't escaping from it. It sounds like we all went quite dark for that module, actually. Maybe the stress of the work was getting to us, I don't know. Okay, the next question is, what is something you'll never write about? This is a really interesting one. I'll be honest, I find it hard to take anything off the table. I would say that I'm much less journalistic than I used to be, I guess because my background as a columnist, I'm used to writing about my own experiences, and therefore I don't write so much about other people's experiences, and I don't really touch on news or politics or anything like that. But in terms of writing about my own life or my own experiences, I would say there aren't really any topics I'd rule out altogether, apart from maybe writing things that would, you know, incriminate me in some way. I don't know, like the time I... Okay, the next question is, which writer has had your ideal career? Okay, I'm going to level with you. Not to get ahead of myself, but I would like to avoid fame at all costs. The idea of being recognisable is utterly horrifying to me. So if I ever started writing incredibly commercial fiction, that would be under a different name and you wouldn't see me and you would just assume that I have stopped writing. So any author that has had a reasonable amount of success without making it into the mainstream media, that for me is ideal. I feel, even though I trained as a journalist, I feel very allergic to that whole news cycle, and the idea of being in it just makes me deeply uncomfortable. So while I love writing and I really love the literary world, and of course I want the books that I write to be well received and nominated for things and all of that good stuff that happens when you're an author, I don't want that to be at the cost of my privacy, I guess. So it's hard to kind of pinpoint an author, because I guess for me, a good author is one that is maintains that level of anonymity whilst having some success. So anyone that fits that bill, that's who it would be for me. Okay, I'm going to wrap up the questions there. I'm really excited to let you know that you can listen to the first full episode this Friday, which I'm so excited about, and I'm really looking forward to hearing your feedback on it. And in the meantime, you can join me on Instagram and Twitter. I'll leave links in the show notes. I'm at KL Provenzano. And come on over, let me know if you're listening and tell me where writing has taken you. All right, I'll see you in the next episode.